Good morning. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 51. Hymn number 51. Seated, we'll sing hymn number 511. 511. Yeah. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, open with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. First Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world shall not be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Our most high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, your name is above all names. Your power, your mercy, your righteousness, your graciousness, all of your wonderful attributes are above all. Lord, we thank you for the word we've just read. We thank you for salvation found only in your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this gathering, the place where we are gathered, for the one you've brought here today to preach to us. Lord, we thank you for your countless mercies bestowed upon us. We thank you most of all for salvation in Christ, and for revealing it to us, for teaching us the gospel. Lord, we ask that you would send your Spirit here this morning, meet with us. As we've just read, Lord, cause us to praise thy name and worship you, to give you all the glory, to sing praises unto your name. Ask that you would be with Brother Larry as he stands before us today. Give him the ability and the wisdom to speak on our Lord Jesus Christ and the things concerning the gospel, that you would use him to teach us, Lord, and to bless our hearts, nourish our souls. Lord, we pray this for wherever your saints are gathered, that you'd meet with them. Lord, we ask for mercy, grace, and strength for the family and friends of dear Brother D, who now sits at thy feet, perfect, made perfect in you. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the blessed peace found only in you. Lord, ask that you would save your lost sheep wherever they may be. Lord, pray for these children especially, that you would have mercy on them, that they may know and share the peace in Christ. No peace on earth like it. Lord, bless your sheep as we go forward. Keep your hand on us. Let us not waver. Let us not meet in vain. Let us meet and worship in spirit and in truth, according to thy perfect, holy will. Teach us thy way, Lord, or we won't be taught. We ask and pray these things in our Lord Jesus Christ's name, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing the hymn of the day in the bulletin.
Thank you.
Pleased to have Brother Larry Crisp with us here today. I think everybody here knows him and doesn't need an introduction, but makes his way to us from Sylacauga, Alabama. And we're delighted to have you once more. Why don't you come on up and preach to us.
Thank you, my friend. Congratulations on that. Son,
thank you. Would you like this up here? Make it a little taller for you?
No, I think I can manage. Okay.
Red button when you're ready.
Okay, I'll try to remember. Red button when I'm ready. What about when I'm finished?
Same thing, I
guess. Red button on both? Okay. All right. It won't shock me, will it? I was preaching in Cherokee, North Carolina once, and the brothers gave me, the mic. I hadn't used one before. And I said, now what is this again? One brother spoke up and said, if you go too long, we'll zap you. Shock you. Don't want that. Good to be with you. Good to be with you. It's always an honor to be here. We go back a ways, don't we? Been a long time. I'd have to go back and find my records to remember the first time I came here, but it was early 90s, I believe. So been coming here every now and then, ever since then, and it's always a joy to be with you. Pray for me. Pray for me. As Brother Houston did a moment ago, pray that God will not allow us to meet in vain. Would you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 2. The red button. Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read our text in a moment. But here in chapter 2, and really throughout the entire epistle, we have the application of the truths asserted in the first chapter. That's why here in chapter 2, verse 1, it begins with this word, therefore. Therefore. That is, in light of what was already written, where the writer plainly, emphatically. I like dogmatism, don't you? I like to be dogmatic. We can't be too dogmatic concerning the Word of God, concerning the gospel of His grace, concerning the glory of His Son. The writer did that very thing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore, in light of what he said in chapter 1, he says, therefore, God said some things. God gave us the estimation in chapter 1 of His Son. Doesn't matter what you and I think. Doesn't change anything. Doesn't matter if people like it or not, or believe it or not. God Almighty says this concerning His Son. Look, for example, at verse 1. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. And then we'll have a better appreciation of why chapter 2 begins with therefore. Therefore. Look what preceded it. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, His only Son, the only begotten Son of the Father, whom He had appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. My father used to say to me, when he would tell me to do something and then have to tell me a second time, he would say, now, son, I'm not going to tell you again. This is final. God the Father says concerning His Son, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." That's final. That's final. God will not speak to a man or be spoken to by a man except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Some old writer said, I want nothing to do with a holy God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think of our Lord's teaching in Matthew 7 when He said, "Many, not just one or two, but many, in that day shall stand before Him and say, 'Lord, You know us. You remember us. We did all these things.'" And that's those things are, is what they were trusting in. "We did them in Your name." They stood before God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, without a mediator. Ooh. Oh, God. Thank God for His grace. God the Father says, this is final. Look again, if you will, in chapter 1, verse 3. Here's, it's speaking again of His Son. It's describing Him. Who's His Son? Who? Being the brightness of His glory, the very brightness of God's glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, oh, don't you like that? It would be easy to pitch tent here, wouldn't it? When He had by Himself, He trod the winepress alone. Of the people there was none with Him. When He had by Himself purged our sins, past tense, He got the job done. Sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That place is reserved for Him and Him alone. Being made so much better than the angels, as He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 8. Oh, not to angels, but unto the Son, God says, "Thy throne." This is God the Father speaking to His Son. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom." Therefore, in the light of that, verse 1 of chapter 2, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I read just this morning, one commentator said the word for slip here would be better translated, drift away. Just let it drift away. For if, verse 2, the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. Our text shall be from verse 3. What a great salvation. That's the title. That's the subject. What a great salvation. First of all, there's three things I want to consider under that heading. What a great salvation. And the first one is this. A great salvation is needed. James, we need a great salvation. Considering the state of what man is by nature, could anything less than a great salvation do us any good? Could anything other than a mighty great salvation do us any good? Only a great salvation can rescue great sinners like I am, like you are. Old Scott Richardson, a lot of y'all remember this. Scott preached here. But I remember first time I heard Scott over 40 years ago, closer to 50 years ago, preaching somewhere in a conference. And he talked about the gospel being good news, and it is. Glorious, glorious good news. The salvation of the Lord. But Scott said, "I've got good news for sinners. The gospel's good news for sinners if I could find one." And I thought to myself, Scott, what do you mean if you could find one? We're all sinners. Everyone's a sinner. Have you talked to one lately? I mean, someone that knows they're a sinner. Everybody I talk to, just about without exception, claims to be saved. Just about everyone claims to be saved. They tell me they made a decision for Jesus. What in the world does that mean? I don't find any such language in Scripture. They walked an aisle. Again, what does that mean? When I first moved to Sylacauga, the pastor, I was in one of the local stores, and the lady asked me, you know, where I was from, what I was doing, and I told her I moved here from Kentucky to pastor the Fairmont Grace Church here in Sylacauga. She said, oh, I was at that church one time. That's a strange place. I said, why is that? She said, they don't even have an altar. How do you expect people to be saved without an altar? And I thought, oh, so sad, so sad. And she was dead serious. David Edmondson, perhaps y'all heard this story, but I think he told it when he was preaching in the conference out at Darbin's a year or so ago. I was there. But he was conducting a funeral. Before the service, he asked the funeral director, does everyone who comes through this place go to heaven? And the director said, everybody does. Everybody does. They all go to heaven. There was an old preacher back in the mountains of West Virginia where I grew up. There was hardly a day went by, Dirk, that man didn't preach a funeral. I mean, three or four times a week you read in the paper he was preaching a funeral. And I asked someone one time, why is there nobody else around that preaches a funeral? Why does everybody want him to preach their funeral? They said, because he's like Perry Mason. He never loses a case. Everybody goes to heaven. No, not so, not so. I like the words of old Joseph Hart and that hymn that he wrote. He said, what comfort can a Savior bring to those who never felt their woe? It's a pretty good question, isn't it? What comfort can a Savior bring to those who never felt their woe? The answer is, God doesn't. God doesn't bring comfort to any who's never felt their woe. Religion will, and preachers will, mama and dad will, but God never has. Listen to these words by the Lord Jesus Christ on this very subject in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, he's talking to the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, how they watched our Lord. Listen, they tried to catch him at his word. But in verse 30 of Luke 5, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Christ came to heal the sick. I came not to call the righteous like you Pharisees claim to be. You're not sick. You don't need me. But I came to call sinners to repentance. Most folks think they're fine. They're good enough. They've never felt their need of salvation. Never felt their need of grace. And the grace that brings salvation. Therefore, Mr. Hart said, a sinner is a sacred thing. You know why he's so sacred? Because the Holy Ghost has made him so. Only God can get a man lost, can he? I can't get a man. I used to try to get people lost. I can't do it. Oh, but God can. God can get a man lost. And when he convinces you that you're lost, you'll know it. You won't need convincing from anyone else. You'll know it. And you'll seek his mercy. You won't be drugged to Christ. You'll come most willingly to Christ. You'll willingly seek him. You'll willingly bow down. You'll willingly cry out, oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You'll take your place. Didn't you, child of God? Didn't you? Take your place with that publican and cry out, I'm the sinner. Oh, God, have mercy on me. For generations now, the religion that makes man his own savior has been telling sinners how easy it is to be saved. That's what folks are being told all around us today. It's easy as A, B, C. Anybody ever tell you that? As simple as repeating the sinner's prayer. There's really nothing to it. And even say this. They told me this. God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. And poor folks think that's good news. No, that's not good news. If God's done all he can do and now it's up to me, I'm in trouble. If God needs my help, if he needs my assistance for me to be saved, then I'm in trouble and he's in trouble. He can't help me. If he needs me, he can't help me. Oh, I need a great God and Savior. And that's exactly who Jesus Christ is. The result of such teaching that salvation is easy has produced a multitude of people, multitudes of religious people that haven't an inkling as to who God really is, who they are, why grace is needed. Go into the average church, the average Baptist church, and preach from a text like Romans 9:16. It's not of him that willeth. Wow. It's not of him that runneth. Salvation is because of God that showeth mercy. And like your pastor says, they'll look at you like a calf looking at a new gate. Just absolutely clueless. Clueless. No, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say it was easy as ABC, did he? His disciples asked him one time, who can be saved? Who can be saved? And he said in words as plain as could be, with men this is impossible. Could words be any more clear? No creature can work the change that's necessary for the salvation of their soul. No man can give themselves a new heart. Only God can do that. And our Lord said, therefore, with men it's impossible. Salvation is described in Scripture in such terms as a resurrection from the dead, a creation. And with men, that's impossible. Philosophy can't do it. Politics can't do it. Man's so-called free will can't do it. His worth can't do it. His works can't do it. I jumped through every religious hoop they told me to jump through and got slapped on the back I don't know how many times and was guaranteed I was saved and was sure for heaven as if I was already dead there. And I'd lay down at night and God say, it's not so. You're lost. You're lost. You're lost. Robin and I were in Danville a few months ago, Danville, Kentucky, preaching there at Grace Baptist Church. We stayed with Rex and Debbie Bartley, and we got there a few days early. And they took us to Shaker Village. These were some folks that lived years ago. They were some religious. I don't know the difference between the Shakers and the Quakers. I don't know what the difference was. But we had a guide. And this lady took us around and gave us the history. And I went into the buildings and saw the pictures. The ladies were all had everything covered up with their eyeballs. And the men were all dressed in black, nothing shiny on them, no rings, no jewelry, no makeup, nothing. They just looked miserable. It's no wonder. And I thought to myself, these are a people that think they're working their way to heaven. They think they were working their way to heaven. No wonder they were miserable. Thank God. Thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ said this about his great salvation. With God. With God. Oh, glory, hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. The captain of our salvation, the great physician of souls, he heals all manner of sin, sick, disease, doesn't he? He can give a new heart. He can make his people willing in the day of his power. His grace reigns. His grace abounds over sin. His grace one day will prove so sufficient that it will present every one of his sheep, every one of his chosen, every one of his elect, every one of his redeemed without fault before the throne of God Almighty. How about that? What a Savior. What a Savior. But the salvation, the psalmist said, Psalm 37, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Verse 40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Behold, God is my salvation. God is my salvation, not the water, not the altar, not the doctrine. No. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Oh, how sweet it is to lie down at night and to say, like Simeon said, oh, I've seen God's salvation. I can die tonight and it'll be okay. It'll be well with my soul because my eyes, by the gift of precious faith that He gave me, I've beheld the Lamb of God. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. What a blessed joy. What a blessed joy. The prophet in Isaiah chapter 25 said, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. He will save us. Not He's going to take a stab at it. He's going to try to. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him, and He's worth the wait. We'll be glad and rejoice in His salvation. God's salvation is something worth rejoicing in, ain't it? As Jonah learned in the belly of that great fish, he knew, as you've heard said, his will got him into that mess, but it would take the will of an omnipotent God to bring him out. And when he cried, salvation is of the Lord, that did it. That did it. Out he came. Who then can be saved? The answer from God is this: I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. He's not obligated to do it. There's nothing we can do to attract His mercy. The very opposite. There's much to repel it, but nothing to retract it. But God says, I will have mercy simply because I will have mercy. And it's my mercy. I can bestow it or I can withhold it. That's what the Word teaches. I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. Man, you preach that. You read even read that in most churches. Ooh, can't stand that. We can't stand that. Well, I can stand it. I rejoice that God Almighty, what a wonder that He would have mercy, and He would have mercy on this sinner. So therefore, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God says, I will have mercy. That's good news. Somebody. I mean, that just makes it sure. That makes it certain. Absolute. Somebody is going to experience the mercy of God Almighty. God's purposed it. God's determined. God's willed it. And none can resist His will or stay His hand. Nobody can stop Him from doing what He wants to do. If the God you worship, the God you profess faith in, can't have His way? If God had His way, what kind of stupid talk is that? One time I heard Brother Tim James preaching, and he was talking about on church's signs. I noticed y'all's is gone. There was one that said, y'all probably seen this, we can't spell church without you, and the you would be gone. You know, like it's all up to you. And Tim said, well, you can't spell stupid without you. You can't spell dumb without you. There's a lot of things you can't spell without you. But this is good news. God Almighty has purposed to show mercy. It took a miracle, the hymn writer said. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. And it took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when God saved my soul and cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. You had He quickened, made alive. Paul said you were dead just like everybody else. And you proved it by the way you lived. You followed the same path like everyone else was following. But God made a difference. You had He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even when we were dead, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Yes, God's salvation is not just possible. It's certain, it's everlasting, and absolute. Thank God that salvation. Aren't you glad it's not up to you? Aren't you thankful that no part of it is up to you. He that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now here's the second thing. A great salvation demands a great Savior. As great as salvation is, it's simply a reflection of the greater Savior that brings it. The Savior is greater than the salvation that He wrought. There is only one who is mighty to save. Only one. There's only one able to save to the uttermost all that come into God by Him. Jesus Christ has never lost a case. He never loses a case. I'll seek my sheep. I'll seek them till I find them. And I won't tell them you take the first step and I'll take the rest. No, I'll pick them up. I'll put them on my mighty shoulders. And I'm going to bring them all the way home. All the way to the Father's house. There's only one name given among men by which we must be saved. And there's only one mediator between God and man. And it's not the Pope. And it's not the preacher. And it's not the church. It's the man, Christ Jesus. There's only one door to heaven. Only one way. Only one Savior. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. That's final. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The very fact that salvation couldn't be accomplished in any other way other than the Son of God Himself being made like unto His brethren is proof that salvation must be a great and mighty work. If only He could accomplish it. It required that the Word that was in the beginning with God and was God must enter this world, be made flesh, be made like unto His brethren, and then be made sin. What a great Savior. This great salvation required the great God and Savior Jesus Christ Himself, as we read there in Galatians 4, being made under the law to try and redeem His people. No, that's not what it says. No, it doesn't say that. To offer to redeem His people. No, He came to redeem His people. He entered in one time. That's what we read in Hebrews 9. One time into the holy place, having obtained, past tense, obtained eternal redemption for us. Thank God that's exactly what He did. No wonder the angel told those shepherds that night, unto you is born this night in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord Almighty. Not that other, that imposter today, that pitiful Jesus. Oh no, this same Jesus that the disciples saw ascend back to heaven from Mount Olivet that day. The angel said, this same Jesus is coming again. The same one. That one that was, as they beheld, He was taken up and higher and higher and higher and higher. How high is He? Well, He is so high, lifted up and exalted by God Almighty, that everything and everybody is under His feet. That's so. And children of God are thankful that it's so. Here is a Savior who's able to work out a great salvation for great sinners. And He's done it and is doing. He is as willing to save as He is able to save. There's never been a sinner that sincerely came to Him for mercy who was turned away. Houston, never been a case. You can't find it in the Word of God. And you can't find it among believers. There's never been a case where someone came to Him seeking mercy who was turned away. A mighty Savior. A real Savior for real sinners. The chief of sinners, Paul said. He saved me, Paul said. I'm the chief of sinners. We were having dinner with Pastor John Reeves and his wife Kathy out in Rescue, California, the first part of the year, and someone, I think it was Kathy, quoted that, the chief of sinners. And my wife Robin spoke up and said, that was before I came along. And we all feel that way, don't we? My soul, God save me. Jesus, His name means the salvation of the Lord. Jehovah saves, and He lived up to His name. Who else could perform such a great work but the great God and Savior, Christ Himself? Who else could trod the winepress of God's wrath alone? Who else could purge our sins? Who else could obtain our everlasting redemption? Who else makes intercession for us before God? Who else shall never allow one of his sheep to perish? Who else is able to do that? Who else will keep us from falling? Who else but a mighty God and Savior will be able to present us without a spot or a blemish before the throne of God? God Almighty, in the eye of absolute omniscience, looks us up and down and says, no fault. Perfect. Like my Son. Oh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the Lord God prophesied, or rather prophesied by the prophet Isaiah concerning his Son, his righteous servant. Behold him. He shall not fail. He shall not fail. Jesus Christ will never fail. Ask that poor leper. Was he able to cleanse you? Oh, let me tell you about it. Ask blind Bartimaeus. Ask any one of that multitude. A multitude. People hear you believe election day. Oh, my soul, you believe just one or two are going to be saved. Oh, no, 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 no. We believe a multitude. Jesus Christ redeemed a multitude, and everyone for whom he shed his blood, there's no possibility that they won't enter glory. Unless God ceases to be just, unless God ceases to be trusted, unless God ceases to honor the work of his Son, everyone that Jesus Christ redeemed with his own precious blood are going to be among that multitude in glory, waving that palm leaf of victory. And singing salvation to our God that sitteth upon the throne. He hath redeemed us with his own precious blood. Oh, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. If I could sing, I'd cut loose right now. Hallelujah, what is guilty, helpless, lost were we. Spotless Lamb of God was he, sacrificed to set us free. Hallelujah, what a Savior. He was lifted up to die. It is finished, was his cry, now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let me bring this thing to a close. The third and last thing is this. First, a great salvation was needed. Jesus Christ is that great Savior. And behold, thank God for such a great salvation experienced. I believe when Lazarus was raised from the dead, he knew it, don't you? When a sinner is raised from death to life, he knows it. Oh, only God can speak peace to a sinner's heart, but when he does, it's not fake. It's not pasted on. It's not pretend. Oh, no. He knows it. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. God's appointments cannot be frustrated, can they? Years ago, now let me preface this remark with these words, it's not happened for a long time, but once or twice, I'd be coming down here to preach. Your pastor said, there's a reservation, such and such a place. You know, I don't know why, it's vanity, I guess, but I always like to, you know, strut up to that desk and say, I'm Larry Criss. There's a reservation for me. And they'd look and say, no, there's not. I said, say what? Donnie Bell made a reservation. He told me he made a reservation for me. No, he didn't. He forgot. Oh, 1 Peter 1, I have a reservation reserved in heaven for me. And it can't be broken. It can't be erased. My name's in the register. The Lamb's Book of Life. Larry Criss is there. Father, I will that all those you've given me be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. What a comfort to know that our salvation is in the hands of our great God and Savior, who has never failed never fail. Hear him declare this: Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. The great shepherd speaks, child of God, to each one of us and says, fear not, little flock, but it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Let me read just a few verses of a hymn, a poem I found. I don't even remember where I found it, but I liked it. It says, O love surpassing knowledge, O grace so full and free, I know that Jesus loves me, and that's enough for me. O wonderful salvation, from sin Christ set me free. I feel the sweet assurance, and that's enough for me. O blood of Christ so precious, poured out at Calvary, I feel its cleansing power, and that's enough for me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.
Bow our heads in prayer. Our high and heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, come before you once more through your blessed Son. We thank you for the message we've just heard. We thank you for the blessed promise of salvation in Christ, found all through your word, that all points to you. Lord, thank you for teaching us that you are all. What a blessed peace. How our hearts rejoice in it, and our souls rest in it. Lord, ask that you would keep your word fresh on our hearts. Ask that you would bless our fellowship this afternoon, and bring us back to hear your word once more this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing hymn number 206. Go to the foyer so people can greet you. And you can take that with you if you want. We'll meet again this evening at 6, Lord willing. Y'all are dismissed.